Good rainy morning, Delaware. It is one of those lousy, like, not quite winter, not quite autumn, just rotten weather mornings.
Yeah, and I fear as it gets colder, it's just going to turn to, like, slush.
Sleet. Yeah.
Sleet. Freezing.
Welcome to winter!
Good morning, Nicole. Good morning, Gage. How are you guys doing?
Good morning, everybody.
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
That's good.
Wasn't a great hockey game last night,
ooh,
but it was fun just seeing hockey again, so I can't complain too much.
Fair enough.
I enjoyed that part of it. So this weekend, we see if Buffalo can keep going on the Buffalo Bills drive to the Super Bowl this season.
Is this like the battle of the old guys? They were saying on the Today Show this morning, I think Drew Brees and some, but no, that's
nope,
not that one.
No, we've got the young guys. Josh Allen, I think, is like younger than my socks. So he's the quarterback for the Bills and an incredible quarterback, but we'll see what happens. Anyway.
All righty.
Our guest today is Harla Lawson, who is the branch manager of our Ostrander Branch Library. Good morning, Harla.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Well, great to have you here. We've got as I said to Mark when I teased the show earlier today, we have a more serious topic than usual today. We're going to be talking about human trafficking, yeah, and what we can do here in Delaware County to help prevent and remediate that. So that'll be the second half of the show today. Harla's been working with the local coalition to prevent human trafficking, and we've got some programs coming up that we want to tell you about. So we'll be talking about that in the second half, yeah, of the show. But for the first half, Nicole, what have you been reading, binging on, looking at, viewing?
Yeah, so I have been, I have been on Canopy a lot. And Canopy is not necessarily one of our resources that we talk about that often. But it is a video, digital streaming resource that you get free with your library card. Mm-hmm. It has two sides to the platform. One side is kind of an, I would say, adult, but not, you know, adult. It's an adult side. It has documentaries. It has some drama movies, some B-list things that you really haven't seen a lot. But it's really fantastic. If you search a name that sounds familiar to you in pop culture, you'll probably find something that somebody's been in. Like one day I was just like, I wonder if there's anything by like Paul Rudd on here. And of course there is something that
I was like,
oh, I didn't know Paul Rudd did that. So any more Paul Rudd in my life always makes me happy. But then on the other side of it, you can switch over to the kids side. So on the adult side with your library card, you get 8 digital downloads, 8 streams a month. On the kids' side, it's totally unlimited, which is great because if anybody knows how kids consume digital media, it's I want to watch that and then that and then that and then that and that and that and that. And you keep clicking forever and ever. But the great thing about this is that it's mostly animated versions of popular books.
Yes.
There are some other things on there, like there's Sesame Street. There's like digital versions of Highlights Magazine, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. But they're mostly animated versions of popular children's books. So we have been reading a lot of Goodnight Gorilla. That's a classic by Peggy Rathman. And the wonderful thing about that one is we actually received Goodnight Gorilla in our Dolly Parton Imagination Library delivery this month. And so one of the things that we get to do with this book is we get to actually open up the book and then watch the animation side by side.
Sweet.
And so then I can tell my littlest Willow, she's 2. I can say, okay, turn the page. And then she turns the page. And then I can tell her to find the match, you know, like what's happening in this picture, find it on the book, you know.
Yes.
And so she can go back and forth and find the match. So there's a lot of interaction that can still happen there and developmental education, early childhood education things that can happen there as well. But the one that she loves the most, which I don't necessarily love the most because it makes me feel icky, is it's called I've Got Bugs in My Hair.
Ooh.
And it's a book by David Shannon. And you know David Shannon from a couple other stories. He wrote A Bad Case of the Stripes about a girl who doesn't feel good and she's turning colors. She's got a bad case of the stripes. And then the smaller David series. But Bugs in My Hair is about lice. And it's actually really fun and informative. And obviously, it's doing what it needs to do because it's Willow's favorite. here's some trivia for you. Where does the word lousy come from?
I know that's from louse.
Yes.
Which is the singular of lice.
Of lice, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that was a fun thing that that book points out. And also, where does the word nitpicking come from?
I'm not entirely sure.
Well, the egg that a louse would lay is a nit. And so whenever you would have to get the lice and their nits out of your hair, you are nitpicking.
Ah, so you're picking a very small thing.
You're picking at a very small thing.
Fascinating.
And probably a lot of them. So there are fun little tidbits in there. I would highly suggest to kind of do what we do in our family, you know, find an animated tale that, you know, your kid really enjoys and then request the book from the library. And then you can kind of read them side by side. It's a lot of fun.
I saw, just peeking over your shoulder, one of my favorite books as a kid, Harry the Dirty Dog.
That is another one that we've been watching a lot of. I try to go back and forth so that we're not watching 15 videos before bed, maybe just one or two.
That's more like it.
But yes. Harry the Dirty Dog is, yeah, definitely one that we go through a lot.
So that's Canopy, and that's available on our digital resources page?
That's correct.
Great. Harla, what have you been reading or listening to or binging on?
All of the above. I have two, but I'm going to share one first, and then I'll save the other one because it's a human trafficking book. So I'll talk about A Wild Winter Swan, and it's by Gregory Maguire.
Yeah.
It's actually the book that we'll be reading for be discussing for our adult book discussion group the end of this month here at Ostrander. We Zoom our book discussions now. It's a lot of fun. It's different, but we love seeing each other and talking about the book, and it fills an hour very quickly just sharing about this. This book is, in particular, is based on the fairy tale, The Wild Swan, by Hans Christian Andersen. And so it's a new version of that, and a more modern version. And it's very good. It's magical. It's in the winter. It really fits today. lots of snow in this story. And it involves a young girl who comes across a boy who has a swan wing for one arm, of course, and then the other the rest of him is all boy, but he is part swan, and gets her into all kinds of situations. As you can imagine, she's trying to hide him and help him, and it's quite a story. And again, very magical, very just a fun read. It really is. And now it's making me want to go back and read The Wild Swan, which I've read before, but a long time ago, the original fairy tale, to kind of compare the two. So it's a very quick read. It's not very long. I've been listening to it, of course, because I love audiobooks. The reader is wonderful and does a really good job with the story. So I highly recommend it, A Wild Winter Swan. And it's a new book. It came out end of last year, and just a great quick read, nice winter read for sure.
Yeah.
And if that name Gregory Maguire sounds familiar, it's because he wrote the book Wicked, on which the famous musical is based,
yes,
which is a retelling of the Wizard of Oz story, but from the point of view of the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah.
So he's a great writer. I've read a number of his books, so that should be a lot of fun. Well, thank you, Harla.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a good book.
Great. Well, this week I read a political book called Bagman. Now, it's got the longest subtitle of any book I've read in a long time. It's called Bagman, The Wild Crimes, Audacious Cover-Up, and Spectacular Downfall of a Brazen Crook in the White House.
Okay.
It was written by Rachel Maddow, best known for her show on MSNBC, and Michael Yarvitz, and it's based on a podcast that they did. And this is about basically the rise and fall of Spiro Agnew.
Oh.
Now, I was around, I was a college student when Watergate broke. I was in high school when it happened. I was in college when it all came to light. And if you know anything about Agnew and about the fact that he had to resign, you might have it conflated with Watergate in your mind, that it was part of Watergate and he fell when Nixon and all the other people fell. But actually, this was a totally separate scandal.
Hmm.
Nixon and Agnew did not get along. They were on the same ticket, but Agnew was on there for strictly political reasons, not because he was simpatico with Nixon or they were friends or anything like that. And so because of that, Agnew was not part of Nixon's inner circle, and so he didn't get involved in Watergate. But Agnew was not a very experienced politician. He'd won one term as the county executive of Baltimore County in Maryland, which is sort of like being the mayor of Baltimore County, and then one term as governor of Maryland. And he had a reputation for shooting from the hip, talking very bluntly, very, very conservative, very, very much law and order type politician. But there was a pretty solid culture of corruption in the state of Maryland when he was a politician there. And he took full advantage of it. He worked out with one of the major engineering contracting firms in Baltimore County what he thought was a fair percentage for him to get on every contract that they'd let. So this was a period late at the end of the 50s, the beginning of the 60s. There's a lot of construction going on after World War II. The suburbs were booming around Baltimore. There were a lot of infrastructure projects being done, bridges, sewers, sidewalks, all sorts of these things. And so they, sitting down with this engineer, he figured out what the profit would be on any project. And then he decided that his share was 5%.
Like personally?
Personally.
Oh.
And it came in Boyd envelopes in cash.
Ooh.
And he started doing that when he was county executive. Mm-hmm. And when he became governor, he continued it because, of course, then you're on a much bigger scale.
Oh, man.
And the money just kept rolling in. And when he was elected vice president, all those contracts that he had let when he was governor and county executive were still in force. So he thought he should continue to get his share.
Oh, my gosh.
Which he was doing. In fact, there was evidence that he was actually getting his payoffs in his office in the White House. So, and all this was going on totally separate from Watergate, had nothing to do with Watergate whatsoever. As Watergate started to crumble around President Nixon, Elliot Richardson, who was then the Attorney General and who was as upright as a girder in a skyscraper, found out about it. This started as an investigation by three U.S. attorneys in Baltimore who weren't investigating Agnew at all. They were investigating the current structure there. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, as they started investigating, they got to more and more consulting firms and engineering firms and found out that Agnew had been involved in this too.
And so they audited the firms and they saw that the firms.
And the way they found it was that these executives were getting these big cash bonuses.
Mm.
The money was showing up in the person who got the bonuses account, and then a cash withdrawal would be made immediately afterwards. Mm. And then that was kind of like the red flag for the forensic auditors. And in fact, they used the IRS rather than the FBI to do the investigations because the FBI would raise a criminal investigation thing. Well, the IRS was more like, oh, they're just looking into our taxes. We're just being audited. So so anyway, they took it to Richardson. And Richardson, of course, this was not the news he needed. But they realized they needed to get Agnew out of office because they had a feeling Nixon wasn't going to survive either. And they couldn't have somebody getting payoffs in the Oval Office.
No.
And so this is the story of how they got there. The heroes of the story basically are Elliot Richardson and the U.S. Attorney for Maryland, George, I think it's pronounced Bell. It's B-E-A-L-L. He was an up-and-coming politician in Baltimore. His brother was the junior senator from Maryland. He was from a long political family, and yet he was a Republican, and yet he wanted to get this settled properly. And he resisted incredible pressure from Alexander Haig, from George H.W. Bush, and from others to try to quash the investigation, and he didn't do it. Yeah, Richardson stood by him, and he basically kept the fact that he was getting all this pressure away from the three U.S. attorneys who were doing the investigation. So it's a fascinating story. Again, it's called Bagman. It's based on a podcast that Rachel Maddow and Michael Yarvitz did, and it has some really interesting insights into some of the things that happened today because of precedents that were set during this investigation. So I'm going to knock it off there because we do want to have time for the second half of the show. So we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we'll talk to Harla Lawson about the Delaware County Against Human Trafficking. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Off the Shelf. Our guest today is Harla Lawson, who is the branch manager of our Ostrander branch, but is today wearing her hat as our library representative to Delaware County Against Human Trafficking. So, Harla, give us a little background. How did this get started? How did you get involved in it? And what's happening with this this month?
Sure. It started, for me, I think this is probably going on my third year as a representing the library on the coalition for Delaware County. And so it's been quite an experience. I'll never forget my first meeting, walking in to the coalition meeting at 9:30 in the morning, and there was a group of at least 20 people, other people there already. And I was just amazed by the representation across the county, everyone from faith leaders to the sheriff's department, to government agencies, interested people, volunteers. It was quite a coalition and quite unexpected, and for me, a very revealing of the amount of people getting together and really working to fix this problem, or at least help it, help it bring it to an end, kind of thing. It's quite a situation. January is the month that we call it's an awareness, Human Trafficking Awareness Month, and Brandy Urban, who works for United Way and heads the Coalition for Delaware County, plans many, many events, and each year in January, and this year is the same. We have many things going on just to get the word out about human trafficking. I have learned so much. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to attend the Human Trafficking Summit, which was sponsored by Attorney General Dave Yost for the state of Ohio. It was very good, and then because the subject matter is so heavy, it is disturbing at the same time. You learn a ton. But the impact of it is somewhat devastating. And when you learn some of the darker side of this whole subject kind of thing, but it ended with hope. There's been many good changes in the laws, in the research of it, and finding out how this is happening and why and where, and then how to come against it. And I think Dave Yost and many other states, lawyers, all of that, are really getting together and our lawmakers to have laws that will help us combat this this human trafficking. And it is not only sex trafficking, but also work, labor trafficking. So there's a lot to it. And the library this month is partnering with the coalition to offer a couple of events that we hope will, again, help get the word out to provide information and education. The first one will be on January 20th, and it will be a public information forum. We'll be doing this on Zoom, and Brandy Urban and several members of the coalition will be there to talk about it. I believe there's going to be an informational video that we'll show, and then there'll be time for discussion and to show. You'll just be amazed what's going on, even in Delaware County. We tend to think human trafficking is something far away, doesn't affect us, but the thing that I've learned with it is it can be right next door. It is definitely in our community. It is in Delaware County, the state of Ohio, in the United States, all over the world.
Right.
And once you realize the depth of it, yeah.
Okay, you said there were going to be two programs. The second one is the book discussion?
Yes, we're going to have a book discussion. It's a teen. This is a book discussion on a heavy subject. And the book that we're going to be reading is called Traffic. It is written by Ellen Hopkins. She's the author of the book. It is a book that is highly recommended for mature teens and adults, ages, grades 10 through 12, definitely for the teens.
Right.
Because it does hit some pretty heavy material. It's a story of four young people who are caught up in the sex part of the trade of human trafficking, and this is actually a sequel to the first one by Ellen Hopkins, was Tricks, and how they got into it. This is how it ends for these four young people, and they it's a very moving book. It's written in a free verse style, which makes it a little easier, I think, to read. But it's a book that we'll talk about, and that will be on the 28th, Thursday night, again Zoom, and you do need to register for these events. You can get on our website, check under events, you can register, and it's very easy to do, and then you can join in the discussion for these two opportunities. Brandy Urban also has many other events, partnering even with the Winter 100 Walk.
That's right.
There's a day that you can walk and use reflection and prayer as you walk, thinking about this issue. So there's just a ton of things that are available, and you can check out their website, the Coalition's website, for more ideas on how to get involved.
And I also want to mention real quickly that if you are involved and want out, if you know something, if you want to share information, the National Human Trafficking Hotline is available. It is 888-373-7888, 7888, 888-373-7888. 373-7888. So keep that number handy if you need it. So
yeah, that's manned 24/7, and everything is confidential. Yeah.
Right. So I think this is a really important topic, and I'm glad we're getting involved in it. Thank you, Harla. I know this is not an easy assignment for you, but I think we couldn't have a better person working on it. So thank you.
You're very, very welcome. It's great working with so many great people in this that's working against us, but it's been a real learning curve. And as a parent and a grandparent and working at the library and dealing with the public and stuff, it's been very informative. And, yeah, you kind of get on fire about it.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You mentioned, Harla, the Winter 100 Challenge. We had our friend from Preservation Parks on, Beth, a couple weeks ago, and she mentioned a little bit about those. The idea is between now and March 31st to get out and you walk 100 miles or 100 kilometers. George is doing much better at his walking than I am.
That's because it's kilometers instead of miles.
Right. but you did mention the partnership. Yeah. So on January 17th, which is this coming Sunday, if you walk at Deerhaven Park, there will be some sidewalk signs posted on a trail that you can use to educate yourself a little bit about the human trafficking crisis in our area. Then again on the 24th at Hogback Ridge Park, and then on the 31st at the Emily Traphagen Park.
Yes. So some great opportunities not only to walk and get some exercise, but to put it to some good use in another whole totally different way.
Right.
Yep. Good for your brain as well as your body.
Yeah, there's not too much to look at in the parks as you walk right now. It's a lot of gray and brown.
Well, I appreciate that. I got a couple other things I want to touch on before we get away for today. Monday, sure. January 18th is Martin Luther King Day. Mm-hmm. The library will be open in the sense that we're open for curbside and drive-through service at three of our four locations. But I want to bring your attention to a program that we're doing. Again, this is an online program. It's the Bright Star Touring Theater out of North Carolina presenting Struggle for Freedom, The Life of Dr. King. This will be performed by actors. It's a professional presentation. It'll be Monday, January 18 at 6:30. It's appropriate for students from the third grade on up and for adults. There are study guides and curriculum standards for teachers available through this. You need to register in advance because we have a limited number of seats available, but it is free, and it'll be a great way to celebrate the life of Dr. King.
Yeah.
Again, that's this coming Monday night at 6:30. It's an hour-long program. Hope you'll be able to join us. I'm looking forward to it myself. I'm already registered.
Yeah, so they'll actually be performing, like a live dramatic performance on Zoom, and we're told it's going to be interactive. So I'm more curious than anything as to how we can have an interactive theater experience over Zoom.
Right, yeah. So, and then I do want to point up too, we have a big program coming up with Annie Lyons, who is the author that we are bringing in at by Zoom again on Thursday, January 28th at 4 p.m. This is a tea time program. The Friends of the Library are sponsoring this. We will have two free tickets to this event available next week on next week's show. We'll show you, tell you how to get those. But Annie will also be our guest on next Friday's show. Mm-hmm. We are really looking forward to talking to her. I've been doing some, I've read her book, as that was what I talked about last week. And now I've been checking out some of her other books. She does a type of fiction that she calls uplit, which is
happy.
It's uplifting. It's books about hope and with good humor and interesting characters. It's kind of like the mirror opposite of dystopian fiction.
Oh, yes.
So this uplit is what she calls it. We're looking forward to talking to her about that. And so then we do have a few other programs coming up this week. We've got a new virtual story time with our very own guest here, Miss Harla, who will be doing a new program that drops on Wednesday at 10 a.m.
About goats.
With
my buddies.
It's fun because when we do our staff meetings and Harla's on, sometimes she's distracted because she can see the goats from her home office. So we had that last week. So we've got a couple of programs with Centero coming up.
Mm-hmm.
One on how to stay positive with your kids.
Yes.
Is this the one on discipline coming up this week?
There are two different ones. The Parents Stay Positive is the continuation of a 5-week series that they have that it meets in the evenings on Tuesdays for about 2 hours. And it's kind of just a support group, honestly, for parents. And then on Thursday, Sentero Counseling Agency, they are doing, this is a standalone program that you can register for, just this one. It's called Dealing with Disobedience. These are great for kids ages, newborn through, although you probably won't have much disobedience for a newborn, but newborn.
If not, you really have your hands full.
I hope not. Newborn through about age 8. So age 8 or second grade or so. So this week is dealing with disobedience. Next week, Thursday, well, this coming week is the 21st. And then the 28th is the parenting workshop is about managing fighting and aggression. Those are 1 o'clock, about a 90-minute workshop, and they do ask that you register in advance, but they'll get you some materials for that when you do register.
That's great. And just to remind again, human trafficking in Delaware County will be Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Please register ahead of time on the events page on DelawareLibrary.org. And with that, I want to thank the Friends of the Library for their ongoing sponsorship of this program. And just again mention those tickets are available at their website and through Eventbrite for the program on the 28th of January. Thank you very much, Gage.
My pleasure.
And thank you, Nicole, as always.
Always a pleasure.
And we will see you in the parking lot.